Few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Nemeth
and David Lauer.
and this is a show where our topics are all about the loves and the hates, and then there's the stuff in between, like the fence and the gray areas, and the mixed feelings in life. And then we also have mysteries, but those are part of the three as well. But before we do any of that, though, we talk about the old topics we should have fucking walked away from. But no, we got a little something extra. So, yeah, this segment's called the Deja Fuse. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I should have let this one go a long time ago, but here I am dragging it back up. This is kind of a twofer. I talked about hating pharmaceutical commercials in the past. Have you noticed the trend of they're all doing like really shitty like song parodies now? Like all, that's what all these commercials are. It's like their brand with some well-known song, but they change the lyrics like, Ozempic. Or the weirdest one, that you know that that chick-chick-a song from Ferris Bueller? There's one, it's for, like for drops you put in your eye, and it's like, my boat.
Oh
Like,
my gosh.
it's so bizarre. Like, there's so many of them now. And there's like even like non-pharmaceuticals, like some paper towel commercial. It's like, we quilt this city.
Yeah, that's right. What was it, Kraft or something? Where they're like, you're un.
Oh, you're crumbelievable.
Yeah. Oh. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I love that original song and you ruined it.
Yeah. And it's like so lazy. Like, it's stuff that I would just think of like, oh, you know, like you're looking around the room and like a song comes on the radio. Like, oh, what if we change this one word? Like,
or the, remember the old one, the Cool Whip.
Oh yeah.
The original song's like a cool, it's cool something, I don't know. Yeah.
Who know, the Cool Whip has outlasted whatever the original was.
I just, that's the song in Home Alone 2 that the uncle was singing in the shower.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but
there's
then
a I don't I don't remember the name of the song, but there's a recent like credit card commercial that has Will Ferrell in it, and it's
I want to pay
whatever.
with you everywhere.
Yes! Oh my God, it's so bad. I heard that song come on like the radio at work, and I was like, change it. I can't listen to the song anymore. Will Ferrell ruined it.
Yeah, some of this stuff though, I don't like, I'm sure I've heard, but don't know it's a parody, you know? Like, I can't name one because I don't know.
That
But like
totally
that,
original song.
but that did happen though. I remember this. I thought it was an original song, but it was something, it was a parody once I heard the original. But yeah, you also have to think, are the artists on hard times? You know, what they're like, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Like, I don't
Or
even.
like, does it fall under parody and then they don't have to pay for the rights or something stupid like that? Like, I would hope not, but you never know.
Yeah, shoot, I don't know. I would hope that they get, I think I want them to get paid for that.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the artist, but in general, I think artists should get paid, although it's probably the record labels or whoever actually getting the money, but who knows?
The artists will make 3.5%.
It depends on who owns the rights too, because apparently Michael Jackson bought the rights to the Beatles songs like back in the 80s or something like that, and then he just used them and stuff. Yeah, so I don't know.
Well,
Yeah,
that's a
because
whole other topic.
yeah. Wow. Is that it? Should we get the show started officially?
Let us.
All right, Dave, you go first, bro.
All right. First, I'm gonna talk about something I love, someone I love.
Ooh,
My
is it me?
love, no,
Oh.
someone who's more special to my heart than you, John. It's
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien is just one of my favorite comedians ever. I first like started to watch Conan O'Brien on like the Late Show. I don't even know if that's the name of the show. His show that he was on NBC that was on after Jay Leno, The Tonight Show, was the late night show, or I think.
I think so.
Yeah, no, like I started like watching that in like probably 98 or 99. I was probably like in seventh grade or something, seventh or eighth grade. And I always watched it in my middle school years and my high school years. I always watched Conan O'Brien. He's so much more funny than Jay Leno. He's so much more funny than David Letterman. And I grew up in a time where everyone was always like, "Do you like Letterman or Leno?" And I just thought, like, y'all are crazy. Like, Conan O'Brien's way funnier than both of them. And like, Conan has withstood the test of time. He's still funny to this day. Like, not only is he one of the funniest people out there, but he's like one of the like nicest people ever. Like during the writer's strike, when the show like shut down and like everyone in Hollywood, like Conan O'Brien was still paying his entire staff. He paid them to make sure that they could make their house payments and feed their kids. Like he paid out of his pocket to make sure everyone was taken care of on his show. Like he's a super awesome guy. I love his style of comedy. He's silly and goofy and funny. And like he's talked about it in an interview I was watching, and he was saying about like he's like too many people try to do stuff that's political, that's like, you know, doing satire of stuff that's going on in politics or elites and stuff like that. He's like anybody can do that. He's like Conan loves doing stuff that's silly and goofy and stuff you don't have to think about. And he's like, and it's, you actually have to be smarter to write comedy about stuff that's simpler and you don't have to think about. 'Cause like anybody can like just make fun of somebody who's ahead of a company or the current events. Like everybody does that kind of current event stuff. But Conan, like in his shows, he constantly like someone will just stand up in the crowd and then all of a sudden you're just in the middle of a sketch. And you didn't even realize it. You just thought like, oh, we're doing the monologue. All of a sudden, someone's standing up in the audience, and then they're having a back and forth, and then somebody else comes out, and then you're just in the middle of a sketch. And it's just like the way his show kind of just like you don't know where it's gonna always go, and it just kind of goes anywhere. It just makes it way more fun and unique. Yeah, Conan's great, and he like his. Like the story of him with like the Tonight Show and Jay Leno is freaking crazy, 'cause like so Jay Leno was on like at 10:30 at night Central Time, and his show was an hour long, and then Conan had the show afterwards. Well, at some point Jay Leno signed a contract with NBC and was like, "I'm gonna do 6 more years, and in 6 years I'm gonna retire, and then Conan, you're gonna take over the Tonight Show." I was like, "Oh, okay, great." So, you know, 6 years later, this time comes, Conan takes over the Tonight Show. Well, Jay Leno is suddenly like, "Eh, I don't actually feel like retiring. I'm gonna have a different show and put me on at 9 o'clock before the news is on, and that way I'll still have a show on before Conan." And it's like, okay. And like the ratings were not good for either show because they had Leno on at 9, then your nightly news. And then Conan was on the Tonight Show at 10:30. And then so NBC's like, "Well, Conan, we're gonna push your show back to 11:30, the way it used to be on the Tonight Show." And Conan's like, "No, the Tonight Show was on at 10:30. It's been that way for 40 years, ever since Johnny Carson was the first person to be on there. Like, we're not changing the time." And Conan like basically had to walk away from the show because Jay Leno and NBC would not allow him to just have the Tonight Show, even though that was the agreement. And NBC and Jay Leno really screwed over Conan, and I'm still bitter about that towards Jay Leno. And like Conan kind of got screwed out of that, but you know, Conan, he's had his show on TBS. Now he has like a podcast. He has a new show on Max. And also I have a Samsung TV, and on Samsung TV you can go through, they have a bunch of different like TV shows you can watch, but it's all streaming, and you can watch like episodes of Hoarders, you can watch Hell's Kitchen, you can watch all these different types of shows. They have a Conan O'Brien show, and it's just the best of Conan O'Brien. So it's not just like entire episodes, it's also just like clips that they put together. So I was sitting and watching it for 2 hours straight the other night. Just random clips of Conan O'Brien, and it's from like his different shows. It's so freaking hilarious. And yeah, like Conan's awesome. He's the best.
Agreed.
Yeah, for sure. Simpsons, right?
Oh yeah, he was a writer on The Simpsons and on
Wrote the
Saturday Night Live, I
monorail.
think.
Yeah. He the what a an amazing talent. And he's been doing this for so long, and I don't know how old he is, but he doesn't seem to
61.
age. He's still, oh really? He's still got that outrageous hair.
Do you guys listen to his podcast?
I think I've listened to one, and I was it the Colbert one where they kind of explain, like, didn't they have some weird rivalry for
Oh,
like
where they were
3
talking about the
seconds or
thing with the
something?
ski lift or whatever. The
Is that
story
what it
about.
was? I don't remember.
Yeah, I've been listening to the podcast pretty much since the beginning. I'm a huge fan of it. Like, he's obviously hilarious in it. And then just like, honestly, like the part where they talk to the celebrity is usually good, but I love way more just like him bickering with Sona, his assistant, and Matt Gourley. He's like the, I guess I don't know if he's like the engineer or what his role is on that show, but he's like a podcast personality in his own right, and just the dynamic between those three I love. And then often the guest is really good too, but I just love Conan's humor, how like the words he's saying are like self-aggrandizing, but it's somehow like self-deprecating at the same time. Like I remember like someone would ask him like, oh, why did you do such and such, and be like, oh, do people ask Picasso why he did that brush stroke? Do people ask Mozart why he included that chord there? Like, just that kind of stuff. Like, it's so hilarious.
Yeah, and he's smart. Didn't he go to like some amazing
Harvard,
college?
yeah.
Yeah. There was a clip, I think this is him, where some actress was trying to like dunk on him, like, oh, this word doesn't exist. Maybe you should do your research. And he just reaches into his desk, pulls out this fucking dictionary, looks up the word, and he's like, no, I'm actually right, or something like that. It was so good because, you know, he's like, if you ever see him mad, it's like acting mad. Like, he'll pretend to yell at people and shit like that, you know? It's great. I wanted to include, though, let's see here. So when he has his guests on his show, lots of sketches, you know, but with like his music, I always felt like his musical guests were pretty cool. Like, they were cooler than Jay's. Jay's was like, oh, you know, you might have heard their single and stuff, but Conan's like, hey, these guys are like underground and shit. Like, I remember he had the Libertines on, and I'm like, holy shit. He had Bad Religion on. He had Tenacious D on, and he allowed them to film a segment where they blow his head up and stuff. It's so good. Oh my gosh. And then, in terms of his sketches and stuff, I used to absolutely love when him and Andy, they would get on the desk, and then the background would look like they're driving their desk around and stuff. That was
Yeah,
so awesome. And then Max Weinberg and the Max Weinberg Seven. Sometimes they would have sketches with each other, and him and Max would be talking, and then they would laugh, and then they would just stop laughing and just glare at each other. Like, it just seems like such a fun place to be, you know, because I just really feel like he was open to a lot of stuff, and I could go on and on about different sketches, like fucking what's his name? Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog,
Oh,
is
yeah.
from there, and that's a future love of mine. And Triumph is amazing.
Is that that's Robert Smigel, I think, does Triumph?
Yeah.
Another Saturday Night Live guy, right?
Yep.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, you guys ever watch Hot Ones online?
I have only watched his episode.
Yes, right? Like, and he goes for it in that one. Like, he's like basic, he's almost like Steve-O. He's just like, oh yeah, and he just like does as much as he can, and he's like wiping it in his face, and you're just like, oh my God, he's so outrageous in it. So good. Yeah. Oh, and then again with him, like being a fun collaborator, it's so awesome whenever Paul Rudd's on the show and he's like, promoting his new movie, whatever that is, like This Is 40 or whatever it is. He's like, all right, let's show that clip. And he just shows a clip of the old movie Mac and Me. Like every time he just shows a clip from that movie, it's so good. Ah, terrific. Anything else about the red one, the tall red one?
Just yeah, Andy Richter is so freaking good on that show. Like, yeah, you mentioned him, and like he's awesome because he was there in the beginning and then he left for a couple years. And I was okay with it, but then when he came back, I was like, oh, like we were missing out. Like anytime that Andy Richter was not there, he was so freaking awesome. But like you said, with Max Weinberg, like he like kind of stepped up and would like take on more of a role when Andy wasn't around. Yeah, it's just like just everybody on that show was so awesome.
Remember Cloppy the suicidal horse?
Oh.
I came across a YouTube video a while, like, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and it was just talking about why is Conan such a good interviewer? And they were showing examples of like how he just like reads what the guests like how they're feeling, and like if they're super nervous, he'll like put them at ease, like he'll, you know, like do something self-deprecating, but then you know, like, and keep things going. And then as soon as like they're ready to like, you know, participate and stuff, then he'll like back off and stuff. Like, just it seems like he has a really good instinct for doing interviews as well.
I think I saw that, and I, yeah, because they were kind of comparing some other, I think it might have been Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy Fallon not quite recognizing the cues that the person's giving him and the way Conan does. Conan really is able to read a person.
Someone I know, these the friends of mine, they were like, we don't like Conan because he makes it all about himself. And I was like, oh, it's weird. He definitely draws your attention, but I don't think he tries to overshadow anybody. But I don't know, that was their opinion. And a very never really heard of that before.
Well, I mean, it is his show after all.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what he would say. But I feel like he elevates his guests and allows them to loosen up and be funny as well. And that's, you know, that's what makes a great interview show because there's, you know, interviewing someone is very difficult and it's a lot of times it's very awkward. But Conan uses that comedy and his personality to, you know, kind of break that wall down and make people comfortable and make it more enjoyable to watch.
Right. And if someone isn't good at being interviewed or, you know, good on being on a talk show, he's not going to just like let it sit there and be boring because like the person doesn't, you know what to do. He will step in and make it about himself this time or whatever, but make it, you know, make the show be funny and keep moving.
Yeah, and that's like a talent. Like he's like, okay, you're not driving the car. Hang on, let me get behind the wheel and I'll drive the car for you.
I used to love his little string dance when he would like pretend to play. Like that was great. And then of course, like when he like walks out of screen and then he comes back even closer to the screen and comes across and then he pops up. And like I believe Conan's the only guy to have an Andy Richter like pal. Like you would have the announcer, interact, but that would be like Ed McMahon, or like I guess Craig Ferguson had that skeleton, but he was also the announcer, right? That sort of thing. So yeah, I wish more people had like just some random ass friend chilling on the couch. That's always great. Like Simon Pegg with Nick Frost on the couch. That would be very good.
Yeah.
All right, segue challenge. Monorail. All right, whoever wants to go next, John or I?
I can go. I am indifferent to the ancient board game chess, in that I find it fascinating, and I could imagine, like, I can see how, like, people dedicate their lives to it and stuff, and I could see myself easily getting sucked in and, like, just becoming obsessed with it. But it's like a luxury I'm not allowing myself, in that, I stay away from it. Like, someone stays away from a drug that they know they might become addicted to. I'm not good at it at all. Like, I know the rules, I know the mechanics. I can think of a little bit of a plan, but nothing more than like a step or two ahead if I'm lucky. When I learned to play when I was a kid, like, maybe this is for the best in the long run, but like, nobody ever told me, like, there's like books about this, and like there's strategies and like openings and all this stuff. It was just like, like, oh, here are the rules, here's some other kids who know how to play, and that was it. And like, at that time, I was kind of the best amongst my peers, but then had no outlet to like play anyone who was actually knew what they were doing, and then my interest just kind of fizzled out. So that's where I'm at that. What about you guys?
Before Dave goes, because Dave, you have history with this, right? I'll just say that one of the I hate this fucking saying that people who try to come off as smart, they're like, y'all motherfuckers playing checkers, I'm playing chess. And I never believe that person that they're smart enough to play ch or like they've even played chess, you know? It's one of those like what would you call it? Giveaways that you're not very smart. You're definitely fronting that you are. Because I'm sure people who play chess are smart. You know, like I've tried. Did we pl I think my brother and I made 3D chess where you have like three
Oh, dang, you're
levels.
playing 3D
Y'all
chess.
motherfuckers playing 1D chess. But like that was fun. But I would never say I'm very good at it. And yeah, like reading about it almost would feel like taking the fun out of it in a way. Like I like all my games to be more organic and stuff. I hate rigid rules and stuff like that. So yeah. What do you got to say about chess, Dave? You got something to get off your chess?
I love chess. Chess is awesome. I'm not good at it at all. Like, I was in chess club in like 7th grade, and we'd meet,
Nerd.
Yeah, exactly. And
Said the
I got a
AV
book in my stocking, and it was Chess for Beginners, and a little paperback book, and it had like the openings and like the different moves, like en passant and
Oh.
castling and like stuff. You're like, oh, I didn't even know that was a move that you could do. And I love chess, but I'm not very good at it at all. I played it a little bit. I know the basic moves, and but to me, I love chess as like a spectator sport, because with like Twitch, you can watch people play video games and Call of Duty, but you can also just watch people play chess. And that's way more fascinating to me, because Like, as you're watching it, you don't, when I'm looking at the board, because we're not good chess players, we see some moves that are available, but like someone who's good at playing chess, they're able to see all these different moves and then, not just one or two steps ahead, but they're looking six or seven or eight steps ahead on something that they're gonna, a trap that they're trying to set. And then if the opponent, blocks it in some way, they know the alternative that they'll kind of move towards and try and do instead. And they kind of, you just try to like set traps and see if you can snag something in it. But it's great to watch stuff on Twitch and watch like these pro players because a lot of it's over my head, but it's still fun because you can watch something and then you can just go on the re like once you're at the end, you're like, wait, how did this happen? And then you rewind like four or five moves. And then you like rewatch it a second time. You're like, oh, and it all clicks together. And you're like, whoa, that was genius. I didn't see that at all. And it's, I don't know, it's really fascinating. And I love, there's lots of good movies on chess. There's that Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit, that got the younger crowd, the not the millennials, the Gen Zers. They got them into chess.
I watched that show, and that's probably what made me do this topic, actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I did, that show's I didn't really care for it.
Oh.
I like the chess part, but like when she's just like doing drugs and drinking a lot and then showing up and playing chess really well, I'm
See, that
like,
was the part I liked where she was just doing drugs and stuff.
whoa, I should watch this. I haven't seen it, but I think ATJ is a cutie,
That's
so
right.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron
That's also.
Tyler Johnson.
Well, she's able to play her eyes around the side of her head so she can see moves that other players don't think are
She's
available to
watching all
her.
the tables beside her too.
Yeah.
I just heard
And
that referenced about her eyes. I'm like, really? I don't notice that. I would say I noticed that in Jodie Comer or whatever. She's definitely got like Sid the Sloth like eyes, but she's still pretty.
Sid the Sloth. I don't know who that is, but I have to look it up now.
Ice Age, right?
Yeah, the reference is Ice Age, but
Yeah.
Jodie Comer, you look at her, you might be like, oh, are you ridiculous? Like, she's beautiful. And she is, but her eyes are definitely a little parted. Yeah.
But there's like a character in The Queen's Gambit whose eyes are the other way, like very close together. I'm like, you could fit his eyes in between her eyes on the same face.
If you had to choose, I would choose eyes too far apart than too close together.
Heck yeah.
But that's coming from a guy who has eyes that are too close together, so.
I always thought my eyes were too far apart. John,
I
what
always thought mine were just right.
about you? We should make a podcast about Goldilocks.
Eye placement.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was at the eye doctor, they're measuring me for glasses and they're looking at my PD, my pupillary distance, to see like how wide the glasses need to be. And I was so confused. I'm like, what do you mean? And I'm like, they're all the same, just glasses. You make them one size. And no, apparently they don't. There's some are way wider and some are way smaller. But I have to
And
look
then
at
they're
mine.
like,
It's
we're sorry, sir. We have to get a smaller ruler.
I need to look at mine on the scale and see how, if it's way too small. I just want to be a regular. I don't want to be extra small.
So chess, they're yes, are there famous chess players? I've only heard of Bobby Fischer.
Searching for Bobby Fischer, yeah. Garry Kasparov was the Soviet grandmaster for quite a long time, I
Oh,
think.
really? Cool.
Yeah, I think that's.
There's currently it's Magnus Carlsen.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Where's he from?
And
Or she?
he is from Sweden Denmark?
Definitely somewhere Scandinavian, yeah.
Yeah. And like he's amazing. He's like the undisputed best. He's been the best for, I don't know, years. Like 8 to 10 years, I would say. And there's like old clips of him when Magnus Carlsen was like 10 or 11 years old, and he's playing against one of the best players of their time, who was probably one of the top ranked players in the 70s or 80s. And he's playing him, in 2008 or something when he's a kid. And he's just like distracted. Like he's not even paying attention to the board. He's waiting for the guy to make his turn. And then he just boom goes, hits the timer. And then he's not even looking at the board. Like he's just like, hurry up, old man. Like you were the best in your day, but I'm on another level. Like he's so good. And it's weird because like the old chess players who played like 50 years ago, they would all get destroyed by the current chess players now. Like they're so much better nowadays. They've just figured out it's like MMA in a way,
Oh,
where
okay.
like modern day MMA fighters, they know how to do every style of chess. You know, they can box, kickbox, judo, wrestling, jiu-jitsu. They have everything at their disposal, and that's like what the modern day chess players, even people who aren't like in the top 10, like they would be better than the guys who played back in the 60s and 70s. Sorry, Bobby Fischer. You're a
Gosh.
has-been.
Wait. I thought he went missing, searching for Bobby Fisher.
Didn't they find him? I
I
don't
have no idea. I never
know.
saw
He's still out there like Amelia Earhart.
it. So what I think of, what if you run into a chess player who's like autistic or something, or who's got like who can there's those types that could just view things in a whole nother way. Are those not allowed to play? Like, oh, he's juicing, or oh, he's autistic, something like that. Is there rules? Like, is there PEDs for chess? Like, oh, he's on Ritalin or Adderall,
I guess
I
I've
don't
never
think so.
heard of that at all. I'd be surprised if a lot of professional chess players were not on the spectrum, honestly. Like, I think there's like a lot of overlap with personality traits that would, give you the drive and focus to get like really good at something like that.
For
Only
sure.
cheating I've heard of lately was wasn't there someone who had like the anal beads or whatever that were like Bluetooth enabled and someone was sending him signals?
Yeah, like Morse code, like knight to G4.
That's right. Yeah, Sonny parodied that, right? But no, I was thinking like, there's professional gamers now, video gamers, and like to them, I think roids is like Adderall or Adderall is like roids. Like, hey, that gives you a competitive edge, So, I mean, if I were to get into the chess game, I would like snort skis a little Adderall. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so going back to John, you're like, oh, I really shouldn't partake. When you do partake, I think that'll be fun. Like, are you worried that you'll just be preoccupied with that and that you'll go too deep or what?
Yeah, it's just like I tend to only have like one hobby at a time. So, if there's anything I want to finish up in my current hobby, I better do that or I'll just move away completely.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely have too many hobbies in quotes that, yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm neglecting stuff, so.
Yeah, and I realize that at this point I'm way too old to ever be great at it anyway. So it would never, even if I dedicated all my time to it, like I'm not, there's no competing with the kids these days.
Wait a minute, how do we know that though? Is that true, Dave? Does that sound right? Like there's a age thing, 'cause that exists in MMA, but like if you're a heavyweight, you can still participate into your 40s because like the last thing to leave is power, and you could still win that way. Is it an
Yeah.
age thing?
I don't know. Like, I think just being younger, that just gives you more time in your life to study it and be better at it. And I wonder if maybe it's kind of like learning a new language. Like, you're better at learning a new language when you're younger as to being older. Like, your brain is better at learning faster. But I'm not certain. But I do feel like that kind of thing where it's like, I've heard like Dungeons and Dragons is really fun and it can like pull you in, and like World of Warcraft, like it'll pull you in, and like those things are fascinating to me, and I feel like I would like them, but I don't want to because I feel like I could just get addicted to it, and nothing else in my life would matter anymore. I don't have that with chess though, because I just don't feel like I have the mental acuity and intelligence to really get good at it. And I just like it as a spectator sport where I can watch it for fun, but I don't know. It's like a lot of things where you don't have to be an expert on it to enjoy watching it. Like you just, as long as you know the basic rules, then you can kind of just be in awe of what you don't understand.
I guess I am curious if there's an age thing, because like if you're in a tournament, can't you be like fucking 70 and go against like a 12-year-old?
Yeah, it happens for sure. I just think already by our age, we are losing our sharpness and
No. God damn it.
like don't they say like with like a mathematician, if you haven't made your breakthrough by 30, you never will. Like there's all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Oh my God, that's so depressing. The future topic, aging, like just, like when I, as soon as I discovered MMA, I was like, I don't know, 32, something like that. And already I knew I was an old man by that time, because you're competing against like tw early 20s, and fuck, that sucks. All right, well, segue challenge.
Let's say checkmate to this topic.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll go here. All right. You know what? Let's go with wait. What have we covered? Loves and indifferences, right?
That's right.
All right. I'll use a hate. I hate using traps in hunting. This is inspired by I was in my apartment, and I guess I had some garbage or something like that, but like fruit flies, they showed up in droves, so I had to get rid of them. And I'm like, oh, I'll buy some fruit fly trap, and like you pour this liquid into this thing, and it smells like, it seduces them into going in there and like going into the water, and but the water's poison, right? And I'm glad the fruit flies are gone, but after a while, I was like, oh, this is messed up. They can't help it. It's like a fucking drug. It's like chess to John. He's like, I shouldn't, but but the chess are poisonous. And I really started to feel bad about it, because I got this new apartment, and some people left some stuff in the basement or whatever, and it was like deer scent for hunting. And I was like, well, I won't have any use to this, so I just gave it away to someone. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, that sucks. You're like, pussy. It's not fair, but it's someone waiting to kill you. And so I feel bad about that. I always felt weird about that. Like, I'm not much of a hunter. I'm not against hunting at all, but if you're gonna hunt, I don't mind if you go up in a stand and wait for something to go by you. It's a whole nother thing if you're pouring that scent there. That's fucking bizarre to me. Yeah, I'm not opposed to tracking, if you have those skills, that's cool. But yeah, just traps. It just feels so odd to me. What do you guys got to say?
I see what you're saying, but I've watched enough Alone, that show, to know that if I were stuck out in the wilderness, I would definitely rely more on trapping than like bow hunting or those kind of skills, if it's a survival situation. But yeah, I agree that there's something that seems crueler about it. Especially like if it's a non-killing trap and it's left unattended and you come back and find them or whatever. It was one of those books we read in grade school. Like, was it the Where the Red Fern Grows, where that the guy has the raccoon hunting dogs or whatever? I might be confusing it with a different book, but I remember there was like a trap they built where they had some sort of opening with like spikes sticking down and then like a shiny coin or a washer or something in the bottom of it. And like the deal is that a raccoon will reach in and grab it, and then when their fist is balled up, it's bigger and they can't pull it out, like it gets stuck on the spikes or whatever. And like the dad like taught the kid like, this is how we're gonna, get your first raccoon so that we can have a skin to train the dogs on the scent or whatever. But this is a dishonorable way to kill an animal, and you should never do this if you have any other option or something like that.
Yeah, okay, so the whole hunting thing, though, again, I'm not opposed to it, but then it is different now that we don't need to hunt, you know? Like, I'm not trying to take away anyone's fucking rights or anything, but like, you don't have to go out there. There's stores now and stuff. So if you're going to hunt, then don't do the scent. The don't do like, oh my God, friends of mine, they go duck hunting all the time. Dave, I don't know if you ever joined them, but
Yeah.
don't you do the the little duck call or whatever,
Yeah.
yeah.
You motherfucker.
Giving Duck Dynasty even more
Well,
money.
yeah. Well, the duck call, that's like nothing. Well, like you put all the decoys out in the water. So all the ducks are flying by and they're like, "Hey, there's a bunch of bros down there. Like, let's go join the party." And they think they're coming in to like, hang out in the hot tub with all these, different ducks. And then right as they come in for the landing, all of a sudden, Matt and Eric and me pop out like Elmer Fudd. And, I really enjoy duck hunting simply because when I deer hunt, I feel guilty when I shoot a deer. When I shoot a bird, I feel zero guilt because when I look at a bird, it's just like reptilian in a way where I don't feel like it has any freaking thoughts in its head.
Yet you
Like,
won't kill a reptile.
I would kill a reptile probably. But like, I don't know, with mammals, like I feel like a kinship to mammals, but with birds, I feel nothing. And it might be because I had like chickens and duck or not ducks, but like geese on like a farm, and they seemed so mean, and they would just come and peck at you and I don't know. I didn't like them. Like, we didn't get off on a good foot, so now I'm taking it out on their distant cousins. But I only went duck hunting like twice. I did enjoy it, but I haven't gone again. But with the trapping thing, trapping, I do agree it is a dishonorable way to kill an animal. I don't have any sympathy for fruit flies though, like little bugs like that. Eh.
Too
And
reptilian, too, right?
yeah.
Oh, they wish they could be reptilian.
Yeah, they're below reptilian.
They would
They're
strive their entire lives to reach reptilian.
So I had in my house, I had a mouse, and the mouse was leaving little droplet little poop droppings behind my refrigerator. And I have cats in my house, and you think the cats would catch the mouse, but no, they're domesticated and they're really shitty at hunting now because I feed them. So I'm trying to get this mouse, and I'm like, well, I can't put out poison because poison's really stupid because then it's just going to eat the poison and die somewhere and then start smelling. Like, you kind of have to use a trap so that way you can dispose of the body. If there was a way to get a live trap, perhaps, but I just got, at the dollar store, two traps for $3 or whatever. You put some peanut butter on there and, at least he had a good last meal. But it took like a week or so, but then I finally caught the mouse and, it was dead and got rid of it. So like, but that's one thing if you have a mouse in your house and you got to use a mouse trap. But like, yeah, for like hunting, if you're like, oh, I want to get the fur of this animal and something like a bear trap that just clamps onto their leg, like the leg of the animal, and then it's just sitting there in pain and torture until you show up like a day or two later to put it out of its misery. Like, that's messed up. I don't like that. Yeah, it's kind of like the cruel and unusual punishment. You know, that applies to people and it applies to animals. Unless you're a bird, then I don't care.
Yeah. I just remember growing up when we moved to our house, you know, we were building it while we were living in it, and we were living in the basement for like the first, maybe the first year. So we had a lot of mice. So I had to wake up before going to school and check all the mouse traps and get rid of all the dead mice, and it sucked. That was like my morning routine. Like I'm barely like that, and there's like a dead mouse. And I gotta take care of it. I'm like, oh God. Like, does anyone else do this? No. No one else does that. Man. It's like,
Vince, do you remember when you came up to my dad's cabin in northern Wisconsin? It was like October or November. It just gotten cold out, and suddenly, like mice that probably lived outside had found a way into the house. So there, all of a sudden, there was like three or four mice, and I would just like see them like run across the floor as I'm sitting watching TV. So then I had to put out mouse traps. And me and you, I think we were watching like a UFC pay-per-view, and then all of a sudden we just hear a snap. And then I'm like, oh, we got one. And it was like something from Vegas Vacation with Cousin Eddie. I don't know. That's how I felt when I caught a mouse or trapped it.
God. Yeah, Segway challenge. We got to get our listeners to bite. So we either lay down some cheese or peanut butter, right? The allure of
Peanut
a new
butter, I hope.
topic. Yeah, peanut butter. Wait, doesn't peanut butter explode the bellies, or is that rice with birds? I don't remember.
Think it's rice.
Yeah, I think it's rice with birds, and I think that's not even true.
Oh.
It's an
Dave
old
wishes it
wives' tale.
was. Dave wishes it
Yeah.
was true for the goddamn birds. Used to be dinosaur motherfuckers.
Yeah. Once I found that out, it was over. I'm like, what? You used to be dinosaurs? I knew I had reason to hate you.
All right, next we got Dave going.
I hate fluorescent lighting.
Ugh.
It's the worst. And I don't look into lighting that much. I'm not like against fluorescent lighting and like for LED lighting or against LED lighting, but for incandescent lighting. The fluorescent lighting at my job, I work in a hospital, and there's so many bright fluorescent lights, it gives me a headache. Everything is so bright, and it bugs the shit out of me. It's just so annoying because there's no reason that it needs to be that bright because I'm indoors and I'm staring at a computer screen already. So why do I need all these bright lights around me? So like when I work by myself or there's just me and one or two other people, I will shut off the lights and just like turn them down so we just have like ancillary lights over that are kind of lighting the work area because I'm like it's so bright in here. If I bring a patient into a room, like they're laying back and their eyes are looking straight up at these bright lights. And I always ask them, like, hey, you want me to turn off the lights for you? And almost always they're like, yeah, that'd be great. Because they're like, otherwise they're just positioned where they're staring into these bright lights. So I don't even know if I should be against fluorescent lights or just bright lights, but I feel like fluorescent are the brightest of all the lights. So they're taking the blame here. My kitchen has fluorescent lights, and so I guess the way it works is there's a light bulb inside, and then it like there's the glass on the outside is like coated in something that gives off like the fluorescent where it glows even brighter, that gives it the extra oomph of brightness.
Yeah, isn't there
I
some sort of gas inside the tube and reacts
yeah.
with the electricity or something? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But
Me neither, but yeah, it's
Me neither.
Are you sure?
Dang, I thought one out of three of us would be.
Yeah, but it doesn't take a scientist to know that bright lights suck. So, like, I've been thinking and contemplating on getting like some blue light glasses because I know they're supposed to help with looking at computer screens, but I feel like they would probably work. I need to look into it. They'd probably work with maybe fluorescent lights as well. But I don't want to wear sunglasses at work because then it seems like I'm a stoner or something. I don't know.
Or Jack Nicholson.
Well, I don't know. Do you guys work anywhere where there's like bright lights or just get annoyed by it?
Yeah, we have in my office when I go in, there's three light switches, and I used to turn none of them on when I got in. I was always the first one in for the day. And then someone asked me, like, can you at least turn the ones on by the door so that I know there's someone there and I don't have to worry about shutting off the alarm or whatever? I'm like, okay, fine. But yeah, so now either since I'm there with the lights off, either people don't turn them on or they at least apologize for turning them on, which I guess is something. But there's like one set of lights that makes a noise, like this horrible, like tinnitus kind of noise that like we've asked to get fixed multiple times and nothing ever happened. So at least we've all agreed to not use that set of lights and stuff, but it's pretty bad. And I remember seeing like a YouTube video or something where they took a like a light spectrometer to the different types of lights, and like incandescent bulbs are like the full spectrum, and you can get like LED lights now that are like the full spectrum, so you know, like a good full light. But the fluorescent ones, and you remember those Curlicue CFL light bulbs that were like don't seem to be around much anymore, which is nice, but those
Yeah,
are
that's weird.
they have weird like peaks and valleys about what spectrum of light they're emitting, which I think also kind of explains why they're so off-putting.
Wow. Yeah, because that was like supposed to be I'm looking at one right now. I have one. But they were supposed to be like the replacements, right? They were like, oh, the old light bulbs are old, you know, get with the times. It's all about these curly ones. Aren't they supposed to be like energy savers or something?
Yep, and they are. They use like less than a tenth of what the same like light output of an old-fashioned light bulb would. But now LEDs are the new technology in town. And yeah, I don't know if they still cost a little bit more than the complex fluorescents, but they last a lot longer and they put out like a better quality light spectrum than the CFLs do. So, given the option, I'll always go with an LED these days.
It really sucks. My kitchen, the light went out, and it was a nice little, like, typical kitchen light, and it was a nice yellow light. And I told my landlords, like, I'm like, hey, it's out. I got a bulb, it wouldn't work or whatever. So they're like, okay, we'll take care of it. And they replaced that wonderful lamp with an ugly 4x2 fluorescent bar. Like, I think it's supposed to go in some industrial like place, but now the whole kitchen is just like bright white light, and it sucks. Like, I don't know what to do. Can you?
Yeah, just you got to go to Menards and find and just buy one yourself because your landlord's probably gonna, they're not gonna help you there. Yeah, those white lights are so bright. Like, I never get those. I always get the yellow tinted ones where it's like a warm light. Yeah, because I bought in light bulbs myself where I thought I was getting a certain type, and I'm like, oh, this will be the nice soft light. I can put it in this lamp that's by my bed. And I put the bulb in there, and it's just so bright. I'm just like, whoa, nope, wrong one. I'm like, I gotta, and then I've taken like the box back to the store, or I've taken a picture of it. And I'm like, okay, I can't get this. This one was horrible. I gotta get something that's less wattage, like softer light. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I should have gotten this one.
Yeah, because there's like a, I think it's called temperature. It's like 3,000 Kelvin or 5,000 Kelvin. I don't know what like a good number is, but yeah, if you find a bulb that you know you like, that's the number you want to look for.
Okay.
Yeah, I like in my bathroom, like above the sink, there's this light fixture that has, I think, room for either three or four light bulbs. I have taken out three out of the four, and there's one light bulb remaining because they're all so bright. I'm like, oh God, I can't even look into the mirror. It's so bright. I can't put my contact lenses in because my eyes are naturally squinting, so I can't open my eyes to like put a lens in my eye. So I've just unscrewed. So I gotta, that actually reminds me, I gotta find like four really soft lighting light bulbs because you don't need four bright light bulbs if you got four of them.
I wish that was it those touch lamps where you would touch it and it would get a little dimmer or dimmer and dimmer, you know, depending on how many times you touch it, which sounds pretty dirty, but and then dimmer switches, right? I like those.
Those are the best, and that's like a luxury. If I go to somebody's house and they have a dimmer switch, I'm like, oh, this is so fancy. But like, I've never had one in my house ever, and I would love to get one because they just are great.
Yeah, we had one in one of our hallways, and it worked with like the really old bulbs, and then didn't work with the CFLs, and then now it works again with the LEDs.
I know a lot of the LED lights that I've gotten, they all say dimmable on it, but I don't have a dimmer switch, so I can't use it.
Oh, you
But
poor sap.
you know, I need to do like those how-to videos on YouTube. Like, I could learn how to do that. I might electrocute myself, but I might not, and I might be able to install a dimmer switch. And if I
You
could do
might
it
not burn
once,
your house down.
yeah. But I have insurance, so if I do, I can just, oh, I don't know what happened.
Vince, delete this episode.
Oh shit.
Dave Soon killed me, John, and then our five listeners. All right, segue challenge.
Let's turn down this topic and with our dimmer bulbs or our dimmer switches and turn
Yeah,
up the next one.
this topic is burnt out.
All right, go ahead, John.
All right, I'm gonna do my mystery topic. You guys ever, like, when you're walking around and stuff, just feel like doing the need to do like just childish stuff, like you go through a doorway, you just want to like jump up and like tap it, or you know, like you're walking and you want to step on the specific tiles, you know, or don't step on cracks, like that kind of stuff. Or if there's like a pillar that's only like a foot and a half from the wall, you're like, oh, I can fit through there, and you kind of like walk on the narrow side of it rather than like the side you're meant to walk on. Like, just walking around, like, you know, I do a lot of indoor walking, like at in the Skyway here in Minneapolis, and I just always feel like doing stuff like that. And sometimes, if there's nobody around, I'll do it, but it feels silly. But it for some reason, it was something drawing me to do it.
Is that like you know, you're walking on the sidewalk and then you choose to balance on the curb or
Yeah,
whatever? Like,
exactly. That kind of thing.
how, okay, can you word that? Like, what is the topic exactly?
I
All your topics are like, how do I find a picture to represent that?
know. In my notes, I put just like childish activities while walking or something like
Okay.
that. But yeah, I don't
God.
know. I
Well, Dave, do
don't
you do
do
that?
it. I don't do any of the, like, I feel like I used to when I was like young and like full of like joy and happiness, but now I'm like old and jaded and I hate fun. Maybe I need to do this stuff more. I do know, like, if I'm going through like Walmart or grocery shopping or going through Target, like I'll just like take something. Like, if there's like a wet floor sign, this is probably super dangerous. I shouldn't do this. But if there's a wet floor sign and it's in my way, I'll just take it and I'll lay it down or I'll move it off to the side. And I'm just like, oh my, because to me, a wet floor sign, while yes, you're telling me there's something wet on the floor, it's also a tripping hazard if you put it in a doorway because I could come around the corner, suddenly it's there, and then I trip and fall over the sign where it's like, I don't know.
That is
I thought you were gonna
childish.
say you run and slide on the wet floor, like with your shoes.
All right, well,
And I was walking in one time and I saw someone, like an old lady, like slip and fall on a wet floor. And like I panicked, like, you know, there's like fight or flight response, or there's freeze. Like, I'm definitely like the freeze response, where I'm just like standing there looking at it, like doing nothing helpful. And like someone else came up and like helped her up and all this stuff. I'm like,
You
oh yeah,
didn't
I
pull out
should
your
have.
cell phone and start recording, did
No,
you?
that I did not do
This old lady took a digger.
either. And put on like sound effects. Whoop.
Okay, what about when you're walking and there's like a sign or like a little pole and you instinctively grab on it and kind of swing? Not necessarily like pole dancing, but you just kind of take it and like, I don't know, you hang on to it for a second. I don't know.
Yes.
Do that.
Or you know how like sometimes fire hydrants have those poles sticking up so you can see them above the snow or whatever, and they're attached by a spring. I would always like pull it back and so it goes flat, and then you know like let it go and it like whips back and forth, until one time I got like a fiberglass splinter in my hand for doing that, and I never touched one again
Oh
for
shit.
that.
All right. Does this count when you're playing with the door stopper behind the door? The Oh my God.
I always like I'm always like trying to balance on stuff and like walk on a curb or something like that, but it's always like out of trying to not get my shoes dirty, because I'm old enough where I'm like, I don't want to get my shoes dirty, because then eventually they'll just be so dirty looking I'll have to buy new ones. And like, I pride myself on having shoes that are like 7 years old but look relatively new, because I'm like, yeah, I've had those forever, but they still look pretty good. And it's all about like just looking at the terrain you're gonna walk on, like staying on the concrete. Don't ever step in grass unless you can avoid it. If it's wet, I'm like jumping puddles and stuff, like hopscotching through the parking lot.
Throwing down your wife's coat and walking over it.
Yeah. Let me borrow your purse, honey. I'm almost there.
Guess straight up jumping into a puddle, I don't do anymore. But that would be childish.
If I was wearing the right footwear, like good winter boots or something, I could see doing that.
Yeah. I used to do this thing in the snow for no reason at all. But like, you're walking and I'll kind of stop, and you know, I'll step and make like a
Oh
three
yeah.
like a Tyrannosaurus Rex footprint or something. I
Archaeologists 8,000 years from now will never understand what this is.
Or you walk backwards in the snow, so people think you went the other direction.
Yeah. It's great. Anything else?
Walk in the footprints of the person before you.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's an instinct to do. I have no idea why. Because no one's gonna know, right? Yeah, I guess that's the
Exactly. It's a perfect crime.
point. Oh man. Anything else about what is it exactly? Childish childish games while walking? Is that what it was?
That works.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say Segway challenge.
Let's walk away from this topic in a silly, childlike way.
Right. Oh, actually, you know what? Specifically about you, John, and just doing whatever like you want, bits that only you will find funny. When my brother was living with me last year, we were talking about you, and he was like, "Yeah, John, I remember this one time in high school. I guess you guys were in the hallway with the science lab, so like that's like the most unused hallway." So he was like far behind you and you were far ahead. You were the only two in the hall. But you were doing the Johnny Depp Hunter S. Thompson thing where like he's slowly like falling backwards. And Donovan was like, it was amazing. And I knew he was a cool guy because he didn't know I was there. He just was doing it for himself. Oh, that's great. All right.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. I randomly think about that all the time. Like that, just him just like kind of, oh, and because I don't know. Like I'll see it with like some old people. They'll just start leaning forward and they don't realize they're leaning forward. And I just think of Hunter S. Thompson just leaning backwards.
All right. Wait, did we do it? Yeah, we did a segue. All right, I'm gonna go here. What do I have? You know what? I'm gonna finish this off really quickly with a mystery. Blue's Clues with the mystery. It's very appropriate. So I hate seeing children in protests and holding signs, or they're like, you know, whatever it is, it could be far right, far left, whatever. But I hate it because they don't know what they're fucking doing, you know. But the idea to other people, I guess, or what they want to try and do is like, see, even this child knows that you know, solar panels are better for the environment or something, right? But then another group could be like, this kid holds a sign, like, even that child knows that God hates gay people, you know? Like, and they don't, you know, you're just putting your ideas and just using this child to me. I don't know. I don't think it's right. Even if you're on the right side of history, don't give the kid that responsibility. I just think it's very fucking weird. Because they don't know. Their brains aren't developed. Like, their brains aren't developed till like 25. And there's still protesters that are like under 25. But yeah, what do you guys say about children in protests?
If I was brought to a protest by anyone I knew when I was a child, it would be on the side of an issue likely that I am not agreeing with now. So, yeah, in that sense, like, I mean, it's not like they're being held to like that standard when they're adult. Like, wait a minute, when you were seven, you were holding a sign that said solar panels are okay, but now look at you.
I think there's a whole thing of just children, lots of topics dealing with children, but this is one of them. And I've been meaning to talk about this before, but I just haven't seen any protests lately. So yeah.
Children, don't make them do stuff.
What do you got to say about it, Dave?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's really stupid. It's like kids, I don't know, like I'm not a parent, but if I was, I feel like I would be fairly protective. There's certain things you don't need to expose your children to. And you know, you don't want to expose them to like overly gory, graphic movies. Maybe you don't want to expose them to curse words. Parents nowadays don't care at all. They just let their kids say any curse words they want, and they're like 3 years old. But like with protesting stuff, like I like there's so many people at the protests, and like you said, it doesn't matter what topic it's about, what side you're on. There are the far left or the far right. They're the extremists on any side that ruin protests. I actually just don't hate children in protests. I hate all protests because it's there's certain people who are so like big extremists and fanatics that they just ruin it for the normal people in the crowd who are just like, hey, you know, this is bad and this is good. Like the crazy people out there just ruin everything and they make the whole movement look bad because the other side can just pick out and be like, well, you know, these crazy people did this and they started breaking stuff, or you know, were they were yelling at these people who had kids and they were saying names to them, and I don't know, just all protests I just think are just lame. I don't like it. And I'm not saying that. Like, there are certain things, like, if there's a war going on, then yes, like, protest against the war. But other than that, I feel like most protests should be done with your voting or with your dollars. That's what people don't do enough is like protest some. If you don't like a company or a politician, like look at who donates to that person. Like protest with your dollars and, you know, like I'm not buying from them. I'm not buying from that. I'm gonna buy from this instead. I think that's a, it's a less annoying way to protest.
Yeah, it's kind
But I
of like
mean,
that MAGA
sometimes.
shaman in the Capitol riots, right? He just ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
I think sometimes being annoying is the point of a protest, though. And, like, you know, it's like raising visibility towards an issue that is, that could be negatively affecting a lot of people, but you just never hear about it. And that's a way for that topic to make the news.
I
Vince,
guess,
what do
but
you.
there's like the people like in the BML or Black Lives Matter, where they're throwing bricks through windows and setting places on fire, and it's like, you know, your core message is great, but then you have these people who are burning down buildings, and that's like really hurting your cause when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like living in the Minneapolis area after the George Floyd protests and everything, like there was a lot of fucked up stuff happening during those protests, including like you know, like people coming in from out of town and just not giving a shit and doing whatever. And then like people who were like white supremacists doing like property damage and starting fires and stuff to make it look like the Black Lives Matter people were doing shit too, which just I don't know. Like it there's that was like pointedly happening on purpose. And then, yeah, in addition to just overzealous people who were for the cause doing shitty stuff too, like, it, yeah, just a mess altogether.
Yeah, it's and that's the problem is like people will see an event and then they'll go and they oppose it, so they dress up as the other side and then do despicable things so that
Yeah.
way they can try and discredit the other side. Yeah, and there I remember seeing on the news like the amount of traffic in Minneapolis, like the I-94 interstate through Wisconsin, like the amount of people who are coming from Wisconsin and from Illinois, like all the way from Chicago going up there, they were just getting people from everywhere were coming to Minneapolis to be a part of the protests. And yeah, it was crazy.
Let's not forget about the children here.
Yeah, so I was gonna ask Vince, like, what about children who, like, you know, like, let's say their family was directly affected by the thing that's protested, like, you know, protesting the war and the kid's dad was killed in the war, you know, something like that. Do you think even then still better keep the kids out of it, or, you know, like maybe the kid would feel passionate to want to be involved?
Yeah, even if passionate, because nowadays, like, you have, like, what else do we have? Like, people driving through protests. You don't want a kid in there, you know? Yeah, I am against any of it, really. Like I said, even if it's true and this child know has some idea of what they're protesting about, just don't involve them. I don't know. Just let them tweet about it or something. I don't know. It's just, I just don't want them on the ground with the signs. And like, clearly, you know, they didn't write that sign. You know, I would like it a lot
They
better
might as
if
well
it
have
was,
the cute backwards letters on
yeah, right. If it was like,
it.
even God hates gay people, and there's like macaroni art on it. They're like, you know what? He's right. God, that's horrible. Is that the end of that? I think it is. You know what? That's the show. Like, subscribe, comment if you're on YouTube. Go to a few GoldilockBears.com. I was Vincent Cloud.
Sign up with your favorite podcast player. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review on that app. I'm John Emmett.
And thank you for listening. I'm David Lauer.